What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey, guys. Welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you had a great week. And I have a huge treat for you today. One of my favorite guests of all time, Dr. Uche Odiatu. I consider him the top health expert in dentistry. And today, he shares his 4 longevity hacks for dentists. It is awesome. Please listen to this and please use them. It'll make your life better and probably a little longer. So please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast, where I have the great joy to interview the top people in this great industry to share some information and help you create a better practice and a better life. And I have a special episode from one of my favorite guests ever. I've had him on recently, and I'm going to have him back over and over and over and over again, because not only does he make my life better, but I hear from everybody, he makes everybody's life better. His name is Dr. Uche Odiatu, and we're going to be talking about longevity hacks from the man, the myth, the legend, the top health expert in dentistry. Uche, what's up, brother? How are you?
I'm doing great. One of the reasons why I like sharing is because I love helping people, and it holds me up to a higher standard to be accountable. So if you stop me in an airport and looked at what I was eating, it's probably going to be a kale salad. If you look at me at what I'm ordering on a plane and you check the little business class tray, guess what? I'm not going to eat the bread. I'm eating the salad with balsamic vinegar on and olive oil. So it holds me up to a higher standard to talk to people like you so I can help more and more people. And I wouldn't say it's never enough. I'm one of those people that I'm on purpose all the time. I'm on purpose, you know. So this is one of my purpose-driven ideas, is to share today longevity hacks, because everyone wants to live longer, but living better is just as important.
Yeah, I'm just going to say this, you guys. Every single time I have him on, he gives me a new thing to think about or do. And if you listen to the last episode about creatine and muscle, so now I'm like super disciplined about it. And I'm just so grateful. And, you know, let's open the conversation on longevity. I think everybody's looking for the fountain of youth here, Uche. And give us the big picture.
Yeah, I don't blame them. You know, it's all about lifespan and longevity. And it's not as if we can actually, it's been proven you can tweak it too much. You know, there was early rodent and mice studies that show how if you do something called caloric restriction, mice would live 6 months longer. And mice in laboratory will live about 2 years. So these mice were living 6 months longer. So that was 30% longer strictly by, you know, restricting their calories. And that was 1930, 1935. So we'd definitely be interested in living longer. There was a medical doctor in the 19th century that injected, I think it was pig's testicles, into himself to live longer. I think there's some really interesting people that have done interesting things over the years to try it. But ultimately, you and I are going to wade through the weeds and share with people where you get the most bang for your buck, like your energy buck, your time buck. Because you don't want to use it taking something that gives you a 1% increase.
Yeah.
With science, ultimately, of how to increase lifespan. But also that name health span. You know, you want your health span to equal your lifespan. You don't want a 100-year lifespan and have a health span of 65 years. And then you spend the last 35 years, dependent and with sickness and chronic disease. So you really want your health span to equal your lifespan.
Yeah. So, you know, it bears the question, when you talk about lifespan, let's just do, so the average lifespan, I'm just looking this up right now, and it's funny how we can get this data. The average lifespan for an adult well, I guess you would beat it all. In the United States is 78.39 years. In Canada, where you live, is 81.65. Why do you get extra years up there? The UK is 81.24. Give us a little, like, where are we on the map on longevity at this point in time?
So in US, I know you have people listening from all over the world. So it seems to be, you know, 78 to 81, 83, Norway, Okinawa, and one of the Japanese islands, it gets up to 83, 84. Sardinia has the most 100-year-old men. So, but it seems to be the common between 78 and 82. So it's all over the map, but not over the map. Again, an average, like what is, when you talk about population studies, what does that tell me about you? And they said the average dentist earns this. What does that tell me about Bill Dorfman? You know, so averages are kind of wild, you know, because you think of someone like Benjamin Franklin back in the 1700s, 1780s, 1790, the average man only lived about to 35 years. Well, how was, you know, George Washington, I think, passed away late 60s, early 70s, Benjamin Franklin, 81. So people live long. Like it was, there were outliers back in the 1780s. So that's one of my longevity hacks is having an interesting life. You'd be surprised how having an interesting life helps support you taking better care of yourself. And also higher demographics. You know, I think there was a study done in Paris, and it said if you look at the subway line, depending on where you lived on the subway line, life expectancy would change because the demographic of the city changed. So that's why when they give an average, it really doesn't mean too much, other than the fact that in America, life expectancy for men and women has gone down. It's really? For the first time in recorded history, it's actually gone down. So that's where I could see people being concerned, you know, especially dentists and hygienists and, you know, dental professionals who are all about excellence and wanting to squeeze the most juice out of life.
Yeah. Why is life expectancy gone down? Like, what's your hypothesis on that?
There's a number of them. You know, you can bring the fluoride thing in, you can bring dye in, but ultimately we're massive. We've never been this big. You know, Lucy, who fell out of the tree 3 million years ago in Africa, she was 48 pounds, you know?
Yeah.
And to give an idea what the NIH and the CDC said back in the early 70s is that the average woman weighed 135 pounds, the average man, 165 pounds. Now the average man, 50 years later, weighs 200 pounds. And the average woman now weighs what the average man did in the 70s, which is 168 pounds.
Wow.
So you might not think that's a big deal, but that's a short amount of time to change our physiology, to take up more space. So when you think of like the average man now is 30 pounds bigger than what the average man was in America 50 years ago. Now you get increasing adipose tissue, visceral fat. And ultimately the science shows that I'm gonna get sciencey right away, but if you have more fat on you, you have more inflammatory cytokines circulating. So it's like you have drunk security guards. The security guards are important, but when they're drunk, they cause problems and they make mistakes. So the more adipose tissue we have, the more our immune system makes mistakes, the more macrophages we have. And the more macrophages we have, the more inflammation we have. And that's like keeping the matches next to the fireworks, next to the gasoline in the garage. So I think one of the biggest driving forces from 1970 to 2025 is that we're heavier. We're 35 pounds heavier. That's a lot to change in 50 years. When you think of human history, you know, Homo sapien, right, 400,000 years, things don't change that quickly. So automatically, if you're heavier, knees are going to take a hit, cardiovascular, you know, just being heavier makes you more likely to have 30 different diseases. So just being heavier is making us have a lesser, shorter lifespan.
Yeah. And one of the questions, we probably move less than we did 30 years ago, or don't we? I mean, maybe the same.
Well, just sitting. Sitting is a killer. You know, right. I know it's been on the buzzword for a while. Sitting is the new smoking, but sitting is a death physiology. They've shown that actually women get more impacted negatively by sitting than men, but sitting shortens your life. I forget exactly how many years, but the physiology is a death physiology because the only time caveman and cavewoman sat, you know, 100,000, 500,000 years ago was when they were sick or dying. So, the minute you sit, your Freddie Flintstone physiology is, oh, you must be sick and dying, and it starts shutting down. We also change how we breathe. We breathe more shallow when we're sitting, and it takes more muscle work at our upper neck and back and our rhomboids and trapezius to move oxygen to our brain. And a brain that starves of oxygen increases free radicals and beta amyloid plaque. And that goes along with, you know, an increased chance of all the different dementias, you know, Alzheimer's being the most common one. So sitting alone is killing us. And, you know, back, you know, how many people actually earn their money sitting all day back in 1970? But you get 18, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, you know, these server farms, people literally day traders sitting all day. And it's exciting, but they're sitting. So they might be earning the Bitcoin or mining Bitcoin, but they're actually having it's a death physiology. So that also will give you a background level of inflammation. So the fact that we're on average 30 pounds heavier, and you got to think again, as an average woman in America in 2025 weighs what the average man did in 1970, that is not a good increase. So that's inflammation. You add sitting on top of that, and we'll go down that whole, I'm going to say rabbit hole. These are like the number one things you could actually do to live longer and have better physiology is to stand. And they say it's about every 45 minutes to 60 minutes, stand and do something. It could be even to get another cup of green tea or hot hibiscus tea. And also lose excess body fat, get back to your college weight.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I you shared that with me, and I got the standing desk, and now standing, it's so cool. But very rare. And I had a friend of mine who was a TWA pilot for many years. There's a name from the past, but he shared with me that all of his buddies were dying because they all had prostate cancer, and they sat for a majority. He said, I'd sit sometimes for 14 hours a day. And so I could totally see how sitting is just a challenge. But let me go here, you know, because you and I were having a little banter before we got started. And a lot of times when we talk about longevity, we're looking for the magic bullet. And you're like, well, if you're taking methylene blue, and I'm like, well, I just started taking blah, 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 blah. Let's let the listeners in on our pre-show conversation, because I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. And again, I honor you. I admire you. Like the whole idea about being curious is keeps you young. So the reason why you come across youthful and energetic is because you're curious. I think that whole idea, Deepak Chopra, author of 100 books, he's a psychoneuroimmunologist, Deepak Chopra, said, anyone who says, been there, done that, I know it all, run from them.
Right.
And he said, run towards someone who's curious. So curiosity is youth. Curiosity is the scientist. Curiosity is the researcher. So I love the fact that you're trying methylene blue. And again, it's one of those supplements that it was a fixative back a couple hundred years ago. And now people are taking it to enhance their immunity. Does it work? I don't know. What are the studies? Are they lab studies? Are they rodent studies? Were they randomly controlled trials done? I don't think, you know, sometimes the numbers are so small, you know, they'll do a study with 18 people. Well, if you don't do a study with, you know, 500, 1,000 or population size studies, many of the studies can say, oh, this helps you with this, but it means nothing to you. And right. That's the challenge. But ultimately, sometimes just trying something, the minute you do, the minute someone tries something new, I bet you went to bed early that night.
Yep.
I bet you worked out with two more repetitions. I bet you ate another apple.
I did.
So it's amazing how taking another supplement then made you train harder, work harder, sleep better. And when you 30 days later say, ooch, I lost 4 pounds. Was it the methylene blue, or was it the fact that you went to bed an hour earlier and you ate better and your trainer, you added another day a week to your trainer? So it's really hard to get off out of the confounding variables. And that's the whole trouble with longevity and wellness in general. There's so many confounding variables
right.
that you get a lot of really people championing on Joe Rogan or championing it on some of these shows. But really, other large population studies, and you know, they've shown epidemiological studies were great for immunology and diseases. Not so great for food and adding a handful of nuts a day. And if I take meat out, how many years that will give you? There's very poor nutrition studies done to say without a doubt, this will help you live longer. Give an example. I've read that there's been no foods that can help increase your lifespan or help increase your vitality by 20, 30, 40%. And that sounds like a lot. I think there was one study that said if you eat a handful of nuts a day, you live 3 years longer. It was a Harvard study, the Harvard School of Public Health. If you eat a handful of almonds, it'll increase your lifespan. And it was by 17%. So it sounded a lot until you realize smoking has been known to adversely affect your life expectancy anywhere from 1,000% to 2,500%. So there's nothing, and we all know smoking does us harm. So smoking, the damage it does, it goes anywhere from 10 to 25 times worse your health. There's no food that gets that much leverage on changing. And that's why what they're sharing now is, the new thought is, once you get rid of the junk food or you've eliminated your junk food, that's the biggest bang for your buck. And once you start eating healthy, the whole body starts self-regulating. So the biggest bang for your buck in terms of what you want to do is tone down the junk food, eat less junk food, and now put your time and energy into something else. Maybe having pitch black curtains. Maybe it could be spending more time outside.
I love it. I love it. So when you think about longevity, like, let's talk to the person that's listening to this. Like, what would be some of the big things you'd want them to get their mind around to increase their longevity?
Okay, consistency. You know, that fable, the tortoise and the hare, it's a fable because it's been around for hundreds, if not thousands of years. Because right. That fable is all about the fact that if you have a tortoise, a turtle and a rabbit, and they go in a race, everyone bets their money on the rabbit. You think, oh, the rabbit's going to kick butt. And to this day, you're thinking, okay, how is it possible that could be any other outcome? Well, the tortoise and the hare, eventually the rabbit or the hare runs forward, runs back, sleeps, naps, comes back, teases the turtle. The turtle's just plodding along consistently, plodding along consistently. The rabbit's doing circles. The rabbit gets lost. The rabbit loses his way. The rabbit hurts his foot. And at the end, guess what? At the end, the turtle comes across the finish line quicker than the rabbit. And you're thinking, how is that possible? Well, the same thing holds true. And I love fables because there's actually, you can extrapolate that to many different areas. When it comes to fitness, health, and wellness, longevity, and health, from what I've seen from my 48 years of lifting weights is the fact that consistency beats intensity.
Yeah.
The turtle, the tortoise is consistent. The rabbit is intense, So intensity looks good. Bitcoin looks good, but slow and steady, Warren Buffett wins the race. buy stocks that Gillette, McDonald's, Coca-Cola. Come on, Warren Buffett. Tell me, is there something really quick I could do? I have a patient. He lives in a very nice part of town. I think he lives like a block away from Drake. And they live in these $20, $30 million mansions. And he's one of my patients. And he said he recently retired. And I said, can you tell me about Bitcoin a few years ago? He goes, Dr. Oriatu, all I do is I work with iron ore. He goes, iron ore is my thing. He goes, that's what I do. I've made a lot of people rich, including myself, with iron ore. Slow and steady has won my race. So, and I see that, so slow and steady wins the race with the fable. Slow and steady has won the race with fitness and health. Slow and steady wins financial. It's that whole thing about, would you rather have $100,000 or would you rather have a penny doubled every day?
Right.
Almost everyone says, give me that 100 grand, ooch, give me that 100 grand. And you go, you should want a penny doubled every day. What's that going to be, 50 cents, 80 cents? No, compounded, a penny every day ends up being like 5.4 million.
Yeah.
5.4 million. So steadiness in the penny, in the compounded interest, the steadiness of iron ore, the steadiness of the turtle wins the race with the fable. It also wins the nutrition and health race because people work out with me and they say, ooch, let's go for a workout after the conference. Booyah, are we going to be puking in the corner? Yeah. I said, I have never puked in the corner in a weight workout. Ooch, I throw up all the time. I said, I've never thrown up. And they do my workout and go, ooch, 40 minutes, is that it? I go, that's it.
Yeah.
Ooch, I didn't see you sweat, but it wasn't that hard because I'm going to come again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm so sore. When I work out, I couldn't work out once a week. I hurt myself. I said, yeah, slow and steady. I said, I leave myself enough energy and life force that I look forward to the next workout. Many people work out so hard, they have no energy for the next one. So this consistency on my part, I've weighed 180 pounds now for 30 years. I got a flat stomach. I can do the six pack thing if I want to, but six pack is one of those apocryphal things. I think that's not the hallmark of being healthy. But ultimately, slow and steady wins the race. I can't stress that enough. Slow and steady wins the race.
It's funny you say consistency too, because consistency is also good in relationships. Some of the best relationships I've ever had or friends that I know, they do the same thing. They do the same trips. They get together and have coffee on the same days. They have dinner as a family on the same, you'll see these threads. And what it does, ultimately, one of the byproducts is it really enhances trust. So it's funny you say that about the body and longevity, but it also enhances relationships. Some of the least valuable relationships I've ever had are super inconsistent. Never see them doing something. Yeah, hot and cold. Hey, how are you? Haven't seen you in a long, so, wow, that's pretty cool. Consistency. It's one of my favorite things now.
Well, look at children. When you talk about childhood trauma, this is huge now. This childhood trauma thing is a massive thing they're talking about. You know, why is the guy at 40, 50, 60, 70 so annoying? Why do you have anger management problems? Why does he have all these issues? Look at the child and you go back, inconsistency, whether it was the parenting technique or hot and cold love, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse. Gabor Maté, I'm not sure if Gabor Maté is a medical doctor out of Canada, talks a lot about childhood trauma. Bessel van der Kolk, he wrote a book called The Body Keeps the Score. Inconsistency in childhood, adverse childhood events. When you're younger, you basically build a lack of trust that the parent, the kid doesn't know whether their loved ones come and go. And now as an adult, the next 40, 50 years are trying to fix a broken man or woman. And Gabor Maté, his saying is, it's easier to love a child and have a stable, trust, consistent relationship than fix the broken man or broken woman.
Yeah.
So I think consistency, and I love these global outlooks of looking at the similarities. Like similarities, like, you know, I think Isaac Newton had Principia. I think Albert Einstein wanted that principles of everything, the theory of everything. I love seeing the fact that consistency, many times in a relationship, you know, people are on Tinder for that hot and cold. Ask people on Tinder, are you happy? You know, they're on their sixth date of the day. It's now 10 o'clock. They've got their leather pants in the car. They smell like Paco Rabanne. He's shaving in the rearview mirror for his seventh date. How exciting is that? So consistency is having that same person and knowing they'll be there for you in the tough times. So
yeah.
Consistency, we can talk about it a bit more with fitness, because consistency is definitely going to build a solid physique. It'll definitely give you good VO2 max.
Right.
Today, I was traveling from Toronto down to Midwest to Minneapolis, got out into the car rental and didn't want to eat in the airport. So I'm not going to eat in the airport. I stopped at grocery store, picked up a pint of blueberries, a pint of kefir, plain. I wanted plain. I didn't want the flavored. I got a pound of almonds. I got some dark chocolate, and I don't often eat plums, but I got 5 plums, put it back in the rental. And as I was talking to friends, they go, Uchi, how do you know what to buy? I said, I just know I need good food to feed myself if I want to be alert enough in a different time zone for this audience tomorrow. And that's just the consistency. My body wanted that. I didn't want a Big Mac, or I didn't want poutine, large fries with gravy and cheese on it. So that consistency builds, you know, has me at a body fat percentage of 10%. It has my skin looking smooth. It has me not going to physical rehab for joint issues. It's that consistency. And I think consistency is something what a lot of people could figure out. If it works well at the workplace, you know, giving your employees and team consistent leadership, it also works in your fitness. So a dentist who's doing all this leadership consistency and, you know, taking all the courses and been to Panky and Seattle Study Club and everything else, but then they try this hot and cold workout, guess what? You need consistency with your workouts and your diet, and you'll have the same rewarding relationship with your body that you do in your office.
I love it. I was thinking you were going to give us some magic formula, but these are principles. So what's the next principle on longevity?
Sleep. I know people, sleep is not the sexiest thing. You know, I've never heard anyone say on New Year's Day, I'm going to sleep more. But literally, poor sleepers don't live a long time.
Yeah.
You know, there's a really good book called by Matthew Walker, a PhD, neuroscientist out of Berkeley, called Why We Sleep. And he said, plain and simple, poor sleepers don't live as long. Shift work is called the graveyard shift because it kills you. So shift work also makes you more insulin resistant. And right now there's 30 million diabetics in the United States, 80 million pre-diabetics. So 1 out of 3 Americans are pre-diabetic or diabetic. And not sleeping well, which is 70% of the adult population. 70% of adults say they wake up not fully rested. So only 30%, 3 out of 10 people wake up feeling good. Well, if you don't wake up feeling rested, you're probably going to be more insulin resistant. Insulin resistance over time, where the pancreas can only pump out so much insulin, and then all of a sudden it lets your blood sugar rise, and all of a sudden now you're pre-diabetic, and then 70% of people who are pre-diabetic go on to full-blown diabetes. That's the pandemic I'm worried about. That diabetic, you know, because the fallout is you live 10 years shorter life, you know, and it's not just stroke and kidney fallout and cardiovascular disease and amputation, erectile dysfunction, it's dementia. So sleep, you know, people think, you know, we talked about methylene blue, we talk about, you know, we can talk about rapamycin and NAD. I said, be a sleep master. You become a sleep sensei, a kung fu panda of sleep. You'll notice the skin smoothing. You'll notice you become more insulin sensitive, which means you don't get such a spike after you eat any kind of food. So sleep is an easy hack, and it gets overlooked so many times. People want a supplement, but sleep is literally just having pitch black curtains. And many of us will have to actually raise the bar. If whatever kind of curtains you have on your, I'm sure you got a floor to ceiling windows in one of your houses, Kurt, but if you have floor to ceiling windows, I would say to have those blinds, those pitch black blinds come down, and you really don't want any light perimeter. I now read there was a Japanese study where that perimeter of light, where you get daylight coming into your bedroom earlier than it should, or the street light, it actually have a higher chance of being depressed. And long-term depression is the biggest reason for long-term disability, especially with dentists.
Wow.
So you really want a room at night that you cannot see your hand.
Yeah.
You cannot see your hand, all the organs work better. And you can try and hack the organs, but the liver works the way it's been doing the last, you know, million years plus. The kidney works the way it's doing. You cannot hack into your kidney, you know, unless you're dehydrated or become diabetic. So making your room pitch black at night, not eating a full meal before bedtime, you know, having a sleep hygiene where you don't look at stimulating things before bedtime. That would be the most interesting thing someone could do after 30 days. If all you do is for an hour, do less stimulating things. Don't have that glass of wine, because the glass of wine also makes you dream less. Have that pitch black room, no overhead lights, get yourself an eye mask, and watch your growth hormone, which is the youth hormone, be higher. And over 30 days, you'll notice a bigger bang for your investment of time and energy buck than trying any supplement you'll buy at any of these supplement stores. So just to review, I love repetition.
Yeah.
Consistency is super important. And two, become a sleep master. That alone, if that's the only hack you do for 30 days, you'll see the less bags. You'll see the insulin sensitivity come back.
I love it. I love it. What's hack number three? Do you have one?
Yeah, managing stress. You know, telomeres. There's different theories about telomeres. Telomeres are the end caps on our chromosomes. And people who don't look good for their age, people who wear out early, have shorter telomeres. You start looking at longevity. They're actually saying babies in utero can have shorter telomeres just from a stressful pregnancy with the mother, fighting with the parental units, money problems, living by a highway, living by a fire department. Okay, that sound, that siren ignites, elevates cortisol. It does that hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenal gland axis. All the catecholamines are all spinning around and around and around. What happens is the baby can come out with shorter telomeres and already wired for cortisol, getting that excitement from the cortisol and a shorter life. So, and I've read now that that first 1,000 days, that first 3 years of our life sets the tone for our metabolism. This is really new now. Emron Mayer, in his book called The Mind-Gut Connection, said that first 3 years, if you can breastfeed minimum 3 months, feed your kid whole foods, there's a certain stepwise of what you need to feed your child to get their body ready to digest, you know, solids. But that first 3 years, if your child can stay away from the fun foods and ultra-processed foods, that kid, it's almost like having a Fort Knox metabolism.
Wow.
That you can weather the storms of life because of that first 1,000 days. So that first 3 years sets your microbiome tone. So if you have a healthy microbiome at age three, no diabetes, probably you'll live past 80. Probably you'll have good muscle tone. Probably you won't have dementia. Simply by that early stoking of that fire, and that 1,000 days is massive. So again, let me show you about that how that corollary could be done with something else. That first 1,000 days of life, I heard Gabor Maté. I heard him on a YouTube video the other day. Medical doctor Gabor Maté said the first 1,000 days of a kid's life sets the emotional tone. So the emotional tone of your child, if they grow up with trust, consistency. The parent says, I'll get that bike for you on that day. Dinner's at 5 o'clock. I'll come play football with you at 3 o'clock. I'll be home for this weekend at 4 o'clock on Friday. You build incredible trust in that first 1,000 days. They said you build an incredible arsenal of emotional resilience for that child for the rest of life. And you cannot go back and repair that. So I love that thing. So Emron Mayer, completely different than Gabor Maté. At the microbiome, you build a really strong 0 to 3 years microbiome-wise. And Gabor Maté says you build a really strong, emotionally resilient, regulated kid because the parents are regulated. You now have, and that 1,000 days seems to be pretty consistent, 3 years, 3 years. So I love looking at fundamentals more so than being mired by the weeds.
Yeah, I love this, Ooch. I love this. So do you have a fifth hack and then, fourth hack on longevity?
Yeah, you know what, this whole thing with hacking, sure, supplements are important. I think I tell now patients, you'd be surprised how many patients actually still take a multi. There is no need to take a multi. You take a vitamin if you're in a deficit state. You take a supplement that you're not in a deficit state of, it doesn't help you that much better. Let me give you an example. You have a big roaring fire already. You throw your match on, you throw a second match on, doesn't change. To start a fire, all you need is one match. You don't need 10 matches. So vitamins, these enzymes, these catalysts are like a match, if you want to use that analogy. So once you have enough vitamin A, timesing it by 10 is not going to help you. Vitamin C is a water-soluble vitamin. And Linus Pauling got lots of press back in, Nobel Prize winner. He went on to really rave about vitamin C, taking 10,000 a day, and all you need really is, you know, a minimal amount to prevent disease. But taking more of something is not necessarily needed if you have enough already. That being said, though, there's some paradox here, because protein, a lot of supplement recommendations and nutrition recommendations are RDA, minimum needed for life. So you're a hard driving, busy man, you know, a husband, father of four.
Four, yeah.
You got these champion athletes. You have a different requirement for protein than a person who is a butcher or a person who is a police officer. So a lot of things you have to do tweak, but a multivitamin is so passe. It's like saying I go jogging to get in shape. Jogging is like wearing MC Hammer pants. It's very 1980s. You know, Vanilla Ice. And if you do jog, that's fine. But if you want to get fast, I've talked about it before, interval training is the way to go. Yep. High intensity interval training will build max VO2 much faster. But jog if you like it. If you do triathlon, jog, compete. People say they run because it relaxes them. But don't run because it gets you in shape. Because every patient I have, I've been in one practice now 21 years, they said, I jog 4 miles every day. And I said, how old are you? They said, 30. You jog 4 miles every day? Yep, every day, rain or shine. And I said, from everything I've read, and I'm, you know, double certified as a personal trainer, probably not a good idea to do that every day. Doc, don't take my running. Don't take my running. I said, well, everyone I know who is running at 70 never started when they're 20. They just started. And I said, plantar fasciitis, meniscus tears, ACL, hip issues. No, doc, 4 miles a day, every day, rain or shine. 10 years later, you know, we're doing something for him. And I said, how's the running going? You're right. You know, I tore this, I destroyed my knee, or my ankle got unstable. So there's certain things that you don't want to do every day. And one of them is run 3, 4, 5 miles. Yeah. David Goggins might be able to, but you're not David Goggins. And David Goggins had a massive amount of childhood trauma. And he's actually poured his pain into his workouts and his physical endurance and feats of strength. And he's compensating for the pain. He's pouring his pain into this. So we cannot compare. If you grew up in a beautiful childhood with consistency and love, you're not going to do David Goggins stuff. David Goggins grew up in a hellhole environment. So just because it's good for one person, it's not good for everyone when it comes to minor supplements. But you and I right now, I'm trying to share foundational principles. You know, consistency, that first 1,000 days, managing your sleep. And that's what I want to make a case of. Like, it's fundamentals. And I think fundamentals is the best place to hang your hat on.
Yeah, Ooch, I love this. And I know I can't keep you all night because you've got other things to do. But give us some final thoughts on longevity and how to see it better.
Look at us. Forget worrying about how long you live. It's surprised how many people, when I'm talking to an audience of however many people, I said, who here wants to live till 100? It could be 500 people. Guess how many hands go up?
Eight. That many, yeah.
Eight hands. And because everyone assumes 100 years of age is decrepit and morbid and not loss of independence. I said, okay, I say 100, but I meant financial abundance. You got your loved ones around, good hips, good knees, good mind. And now 50 hands go up. Still not that many. So we talk about longevity. Do people really want longevity as much as they want vitality?
Right.
Longevity is like a misnomer. Like, do you really want a long life or do you want quality? So that dash between the birth and death date is really where, you know, who's the gentleman? He's a consultant that talked about the dash. Was it Bill? He talked about
the dash. Yeah, what was his name? It was wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, play your A game. Well, yep. Anyway, you talk about the dash. Well, longevity, who cares about longevity? I said go for vitality and energy. That's the true currency, vitality and energy. And that is health span. You want your health span to match your lifespan. Because lifespan now, a lot of longevity experts, I know David Sinclair wrote a book called Longevity. He's a Harvard-trained PhD medical doctor. He's a really smart guy. He's talking about longevity. Well, they're really saying the longevity is really dictated by your genes. If you have a mom and dad or grandparents or uncle or aunt that lived into their 90s, the chances are you live into your 90s. So life expectancy many times is genetically driven. So I know that already. Lucky for me, my mom lived to 92, my dad to 80, which is fine. That's not my area where I'm focused on. So if you had long living parents, long living grandparents, the chances are you'll have a long life. Really what you can tweak is the health span. It's the health span that's 80% in your control. What's the quality of vitality, energy, lucidity? Like how lucid will you be? Will you have a good memory? Will you have energy galore? Will you have energy for your family after seeing your patients all day? So life's longevity is kind of a catchphrase, but really it's genetically driven. It's really health span, and that's energetically driven. And then that's like what we said, you know, consistency, sleep, you know, and that first 1,000 days. And look, you and I are long past 3 years of age, but you can share that with patients.
Right.
You can share it with a sister who might be having a baby. You know, they always said if you share something, you're actually reliving it and it's going deeper into your psyche and you'll remember it better. But that whole thing with food, we'll get a bigger bang for our buck getting rid of junk food, and not so much. That it's a sigmoid curve. You add methylene blue, you add NAD, you add rapamycin. The biggest bang for your buck is getting rid of junk food.
Yeah.
You get rid of junk food, breath changes, eyes sparkle, stomach flattens, love handles go. And that's massive. And it costs nothing because junk food is actually fairly expensive. And now just eat healthy and then put your energy into something else. Maybe doing a weight training program, maybe putting a gym in your home, you know, maybe talking to your children and be consistently there for them. So yeah. That's I'd like to end on that.
Uch, you're the best. I don't think you're changing lives. I know you are. And I know a lot of people that are listening to this. I'm just going to tell you guys, you got to follow this guy. It's inspiring. I learned so much. When I hear you talk, I'm like, I got to do better. So Uch, if somebody's listening to this, how do they find out more about who you are? Where do I go?
You know, I love Instagram. I love the immediacy of it. I like getting direct messages. I get messages all day. Uch, what probiotic should I take? Which red light should I buy? Or, you know, what's the best eye mask? Or could you repeat what you said on Kirk's show? Or where are you next? So I love Instagram. Facebook, I kind of just, it's more, I don't post as often. Instagram is my hotspot. So if you don't have Instagram, and people always think Instagram is, you know, is there just sites, you know, geared towards measuring Kim Kardashian's hips, you know, but you can just follow the U.S. Surgeon General. You can follow your favorite politician. You can follow LeBron James. You can follow Tom Brady. You can actually follow only 20 people. You can follow Harvard School of Public Health. You can follow Stanford School of Medicine. You can follow the National Institute of Health, you know, and you can follow just solid institutions. Follow your best authors. Follow your best podcaster, Kurt Behrendt, ACT Dental, and follow only 20 people. Yeah. And you're not going to be inundated with, you know, glamour and gossip about certain celebrities. You know, follow stuff that you're interested in. So Instagram is my hotspot. And I post a story a couple a day. I have 5,500 posts as posts over the years, about 500 reels. So I love that sharing. I find when I share, I understand it at a deeper level. And then I get better. When I start being able to use it in my life, I get better sharing at chairside. And I always say, as a wellness-based doctor, as an oral physician, you can't take a patient on a journey you haven't been on.
Right.
And if you're talking about inflammation and pontics and peri-implantitis, you can't smoke a drive-through. You know, you got to live that part. And when you live that part, or at least you're along your journey, patients automatically see that you effervesce. There's an energy that comes off you, and you end up speaking with more conviction in your case presentations. And that handshake, that firm handshake when you first meet a patient, is dynamic. And they think, wow, I'm in a different kind of office. I love the energy here.
I love it, buddy. I'm so grateful to have you on. Call you my friend, and we're going to keep bringing it. So, buddy, you're the best. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show podcast. Uch is what this is all about. Just helping you create a better practice and a better life. Maybe thinking better about how you take care of yourself, your health span. And so we're going to have him back again and again and again. So hope you guys enjoyed that. If you did enjoy it, do us a favor, hit the share button, share it with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for things you guys want to see, and we're going to be lining them up. So until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it, so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.